What's up, y'all? Welcome to another episode of Shut the Fuck Up, Jesse. These are my unwarranted opinions, unsolicited opinions, unsummoned thoughts, okay? So if you don't like them, get lost, period. All right? Okay, so let's just get into it. So many things have happened since the last time we talked. Bitch, we finally got a new motherfucking president. Woo! Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. We thank you, Jesus. We worship you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Woo, finally. You know what? We survived. Like, we really survived Donald Duck. Like, and I'm just so happy about that. It's like the day after the inauguration, a bitch just woke up feeling light. I felt so light. I felt like I could do anything. I felt like, you know what I'm saying? I really felt like this land was made for you and me. Like, you know what I'm saying? Equality. I felt equality. I felt my stimulus check coming. I felt student loans being canceled. I felt a lot of things coming through. Like, I felt new, refreshed, revived. You know what I'm saying? And, but yeah, I'm so fucking happy that Donald Duck is out of the White House. And you know, let's just touch on inauguration. Did y'all look at the inauguration? I love black people. Black people don't say inauguration. We say inauguration. You saw the inauguration? I felt like that was such a good inauguration, especially given the circumstances, especially given COVID. So I'll just touch on it really, really quickly. Who the fuck keeps inviting J-Lo? First of all, hold on. Let's just rewind. Michelle Obama, sis came through like, sis came through like this was her husband's third inauguration. I mean, she came through like, the way she walked through the fucking Capitol and just the way her curls, it was like, honestly, sis, the curls. Her hair, like, I've never seen Michelle Obama's hair look that great. Her hair always looks nice, but the curls on inauguration day, like, sis, like, them curls, you could tell she took them curls out right before she got out the motherfucking limo. She's like, hold on, let's take the curls out right here. Let's go ahead and just spray this shit down right quick. Let's make sure everything is on point. Like the curls, the swoop banging. Like, it was like, we didn't even notice that Barack was there. Like, was Barack there? We didn't even notice that shit. Like, Michelle came through and just shut everybody down. Jill Biden looked cute. You know, one thing about Jill Biden, she gonna match her mask to her dress. So we're thankful for that. But Michelle looked so freaking beautiful. The presidents that do matter were there. Barack, you know, Bush, Clinton. Okay, let's get to the program. Who the fuck keeps inviting J-Lo to sing? Like, who the fuck keeps inviting J-Lo to sing at places? Like, don't get me wrong. Sis is an amazing performer. I mean, at this point, like, she's an icon. Like, she's iconic. Like, you know, we're going to give her her things. But singing is not her thing. Singing is not her gift. Singing is not her ministry. Singing, it's just, that's not her thing. And it's like, as soon as I saw J-Lo on the program, I was like, oh, shit, who the fuck gonna sing for J-Lo? Because we all know she don't be bringing her own vocals to her performances. So who the fuck gonna sing? Ashanti. I ain't know Ashanti was gonna be here today. Ashanti, where you at, girl? You know, it's time for you to perform. Or all the other mystery women who have voiced, who have vocalized all of J-Lo's songs throughout her career. Because I wasn't prepared for J-Lo to actually really try to sing. This lady really got up there at the inauguration and sang. And it's like, from the beginning, I could tell it wasn't her vocals. Like, it's like, whose vocals are these? Like, we still stealing vocals? Like, J-Lo has been on her Ursula shit for what, 30 years now? just stealing vocals. You know what I'm saying? Who vocals was these? And then you gonna sing this elementary ass song. This land is your land. This land is my land. From California. Then she bust into, let's get loud. Girl, this is not a Trump rally. What the fuck? Talking about let's get loud. Who you telling to get loud? It wasn't no crowd. You know what I'm saying? The Caucasian Revolution definitely put devastation to the nation and put defecation to crowds in D.C. So who were you telling to get loud, sis? I mean, we at home. We girl, no, that wasn't it. A lot of people thought Gaga didn't sing well for the national anthem, and I thought she did a great job. Like, the thing with black people, and I love this about my people, but black people, everybody not gonna sing the national anthem with, you know what I'm saying? They're not gonna Negroize the national anthem. Like, they want you to come through and, oh, say, can you see by the, like, no. Everybody cannot sing the national anthem like that. Gaga came in and she, oh, say, can you see? She gave us theater. She gave us drama. She gave us Caucasian. That's what she, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? Negro-fying the national anthem. That's not Gaga's ministry. Gaga's ministry is theater. It's opera. It's dramatics, and she gave us just that. Then you had Garth Brooks come through with Amazing Grace, child. It was nothing amazing, but I was waiting for the grace to come down, because the Lord knows the nation needs that. We do need God's grace. But honey, there was nothing amazing about that. As a matter of fact, Barack was right there. I don't know why they didn't just ask Barack to sing it. Y'all remember? Don't act like you don't remember. Barack can sing Amazing Grace the fuck down. Let me just remind y'all real quick.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound.
So why we ain't just let Barack sing? And shit, if Barack ain't want to do it, Portia Williams is right there. Portia Williams always protesting. She always in the street. Sis can sing the fuck out of Amazing Grace. And if you want a reminder, let me remind y'all real quick too.
How sweet is the sound that saved a wretch like me.
Y'all could let Portia Williams sing Amazing Grace. We all know she can do it. She can hold a note. I got emotional watching Kamala Harris get sworn in. I really did get emotional, because here we have, you know what I'm saying, an Indian, Jamaican, you know, female vice president. And it just was amazing to watch. And, you know, I saw so many tweets coming up about her blackness. And it just gets so weird how some of y'all really want to pick and choose who's black, like, and who's not. And it's like, the woman has always told us she's black. Her father is Jamaican. Like, he is black. Like, she's black. Her mother is Indian. She acknowledges that as well. And I just feel like it gets so weird with a lot of people online when it comes to West Indians, how a lot of people just want to say we're not black. And it's like, It's just fucking weird to me. It's just so weird. And it's like, at the end of the day, do we want people to acknowledge their blackness or not? Like, what are we trying to do? Like, you see how I come on here every week and I've been talking about The Bachelor and how it just really pisses me off how it's like, you'll say, yeah, you're, like, people be like, yeah, you're the first black Bachelor. Oh, I'm black. But I'm what? I'm black. And it's like, okay, damn, like, you don't have to denounce your blackness to announce your whiteness too. It's like, calm the fuck down. And at the end of the day, bitch, nothing looks white about you. Like, you don't look white. You look like a Negro. And if you were to get stopped by a cop right now, I'm pretty sure they would treat you like the Negro that you are. So it's like, acknowledge that. Like, why are you so ashamed to just acknowledge your blackness? And it's like, it's so refreshing to me to see someone like Kamala who acknowledges her blackness, but then people are always attacking her blackness. And I just really don't get it. But speaking of blackness, let's go ahead and just get into this Bachelor situation. I said I wasn't gonna watch The Bachelor anymore because honestly, after last week, it just really fucking pissed me off. So let me just give you guys a quick rundown. You have Matt, Uncle Tom James, who went out with Bree. She's one of the biracial girls that are in the house. And this is their first one-on-one date. This is a one-on-one date. Matt got Bree on dirt bikes, riding through mud, got her falling into the mud. Bree's hair done got dirty, had her in the woods chopping up woods. Like, you know, then had her taking baths outside. Like, it just was like, my God, like, it was such a rough date. But after that rough ass date, they sit down for an intimate dinner and Bree tells him how, you know, her mother had her when she was 13 years old, like 13. My mother had me when I was 13. My father hasn't been in my life at all. And I just always felt alone in this world. I always felt like I don't really have a home. And, you know, he's listening to her talk and he's like, wow, you know, I can relate. Like, I can relate to that because, you know, my father wasn't in my life. And, you know, as they're talking about their daddies not being in their lives, and I'm like, you know, that's exactly why Matt is so disconnected from his blackness, because his father is black, but his daddy wasn't in his life. So all he could do really is connect to his white mother. Because he's white too. So yeah. So as they talk, I'm just like, listen, y'all motherfuckers is on the wrong show. Y'all over here trying to find a bachelorette, but y'all got all this trauma. Where's Iyanla Van Zandt? Y'all need to be on Iyanla Fix My Life, not on The Bachelor looking for love. Like, y'all are lost as fuck. But anyway, he gives her empathy, like, oh, you know, well, I can relate to that because this is what happened to me. Fast forward, he goes on a one-on-one date with this girl named Sarah, white girl. Takes her on the most romantic date. Takes her on the first plane ever created, child. It looked like one of them planes they was using back in the World Wars, okay? But they taking a romantic flight. Then they go into the woods and it's a romantic lunch set up. Then they go, they have their dinner and it's romantic as fuck. And I'm just like, well, what the, so basically the biracial girl had the fucking swimming mud on her date and hit this bitch is flying on clouds for hers, and it's just romantic as hell. So for their date night, they're sitting down and the girl is telling him how, oh, her dad suffers from ALS and she's a caregiver. And that was kind of strange to me because it's like, you know what I'm saying, me and my homegirls, if we was a caregiver for our father who had ALS, we wouldn't be on The Bachelor looking for love. We would be at home tending to our father. But that's just me. So she gives him this whole story about how her daddy got ALS. And he, like, gives her this empathy that he did not give the biracial girl. Like, I'm so sorry that you're going through this, and I want to do everything in my power to be there for you. You know, in my life, what has to sustain me was Jesus Christ. Like, he started, can I talk to you about Jesus? Like, he was telling her about the Lord. Like, offering her top-tier empathy. And I'm like, damn, where the fuck was this energy for the black girl? Non-fucking-existent. And that really fucking bothers me because, you know, damn, it's like, even in the dating realm, you see how black girls are treated versus white girls. It's like, Black women get all this empathy. They get all this love. They get all this, like, they get to be soft, and they get to be recognized as soft, fragile beings. The black girl's like, stay strong. I can relate to that girl, but you know what I'm saying? Stay strong, bitch. And it's like, no, where the fuck is my empathy, bitch? Where the fuck is my empathy that you was giving to Karen? Where's mine? And that shit really pissed me off. And then fast forward in that episode, there's a character there. I'm not even gonna say she's a contestant. It's a character, Victoria, who basically every week is getting her Karen on, and she got an Asian girl kicked out of the house. She went and she lied to Matt and told Matt that this girl named Marilyn was bullying her, basically. Matt, who's literally seen Victoria display bad behavior over and over and over again, literally took her side and eliminated the Asian girl. And that to me was so fucking racist. Like, it was just so racist. And then come to find out, you know, Twitter is gonna do their job. And they found the girl's Instagram, and the girl got all these pictures with the Trump flag. So she's a fucking Trump supporter. She's racist. And this is what you're co-signing. And then to add to that, Matt had an appearance on Lindsay, I can't remember her last name, but the only black girl that was the Bachelorette, like 4 years ago. He made an appearance on her podcast, and he told her he felt Victoria was funny. So basically, you felt that watching this white woman display all the microaggressions that other colored women have to suffer at the hands of Caucasian women, you found that fucking funny? You found that funny? And it's like, so I was fucking done. Like, I did not want to watch the show no more, because I really feel like his fucking hammer-faced ass is a disappointment. You're just a disappointment. We will never be free. We will never be free. But anyway, the spirit led me to watch the show last night. And child, all of a sudden, in this latest episode, you got Matt James paying a lot of attention to the black women's. You got him giving a rose to Chelsea. Y'all know how I feel about Chelsea. Chelsea's my bitch from day one. You had him go on one date with Chowdy. First of all, they bought in a boatload of new hoes, like out of nowhere. Five new bitches. You got one bitch. As soon as she met Matt, she was sticking her tongue down his corona throat. Like, the man didn't even get to introduce himself yet. She just tongue down the throat, honey, licking all coronavirus particles that she can lick. It was just really strange to me and my homegirls. What was I saying? So yeah. But anyway, one of the new girls is a teacher, and she's a light-skinned black girl. They went on a date. It was really nice. I was like, okay, what's going on? Production must have said, listen, we've been giving the people a lot of, you know, bean casserole, a lot of avocado toast. You know, we've been given a lot of white sheets, you know, holes where the eyes areas would be. We've given the people a lot of white sheets and torches. We're going to go ahead and we're going to entertain a little bit of collard greens and yams and cornbread in this episode. So
I'm still finna cuss him out in my review because he still ain't shit, but I'm loving it. Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
You know what I'm saying? It was very pleasing to me and my homegirls to finally watch him interact and have, you know, intimate time with black women. And so I can't remember the girl's name, but basically they went on a date. It went well. So fast forward, you know, he's doing his little rose ceremony, giving out roses. And like, as the show was going off, you know, he was sitting down with this one girl named Maggie. And I think Maggie's Ethiopian. And they was having like a little bit of one-on-one time. And this man just was like, oh, you want to see me dance? She's like, yeah, sure. And this man started TikToking.
Just vibe. I'm gonna do my thing now.
Okay.
Right?
Okay. What's going on? Oh, we will never be free. Not come in, give me high five. Yeah, I love my. This nigga is TikToking.
Yeah.
We will never be free. We will never be free. This is our first black, but I'm white too. Bachelor.
That's great.
Why she lying to that man like that? We will never be free.
In silence. Just. Like, just TikToking, and it was so unseasoned. It was so embarrassing. It was an abomination to the nation. Like, we would never be free. We would never be free. Watching him dance told me that my, you know what, I ain't gonna say all that. I'm gonna just say this. That shit was the most unseasoned dancing I've ever seen a black man do. And my ancestors are upset this morning. Like, my ancestors are upset. And that was literally his white too side. That was the I'm white too. Just look at it. Like, who? And then my thing was, sis didn't know what to do. Sis just sat there and she was, oh my God, this is happening. And then she gonna lie to my, that was great, girl. Black women, we gotta do a better job of telling these men the truth, period. That was the ugliest TikTok and dance I've ever seen. That shit was a letdown to the nation, an abomination to the nation. And I don't ever wanna see that shit again, period. Poo, period. So disappointed. Another instance where black man lets us down, okay? Speaking of black men disappointing us, let's talk about this whole Danny Lay situation, right? I have so many thoughts on this shit. So I'm gonna try my best to address it, right? Black men, y'all are responsible. Like, black men, y'all are literally responsible for shit like this. When you have a Hispanic girl with no black in her, you are a white Spaniard whose parents were born in the Dominican Republic. You are a Dominican, you are a white Dominican. You posted your ancestry and your ancestry literally confirmed you are a Spaniard. You are white. But here you go, uploading a song talking about yellow bunny buddy why, yellow bunny buddy why, yellow bunny buddy why. Who told you were the yellow bone? Who told you were yellow bone? Because I know it wasn't a black woman. Who told you were yellow bone? A black man did. A black man told you were yellow bone. The black men that you fuck told you were yellow bone. The black men that wanna fuck you told you were yellow bone. But I'm here to tell you and everybody like you, you no black. You don't go here. You're not. Yellow bone is a term that is used for light-skinned black girls. You don't black! You don't go here. And it just really makes me upset, because what makes this entire thing even more trash is the girl can't even sing. Like, I have not heard a song from this girl where I thought, wow, that was a nice vocal performance. Oh my gosh, the key that she hit. Oh, the arrangement. No, I have yet. And I'm pretty sure I never will. The song was trash. All your other music is trash. And the only reason why you're on everybody's mouths lately is because of the baby. And that was clearly a PR stunt. Like, anybody with a brain can see that was a PR stunt. You guys did a song together. It didn't really hit like that. but you know he has a following, so let me just stick this through. Let me stick this through. Let's go ahead and just drive this into the minds of everybody. This is my man. Like, this is when things picked up for you. Nobody was talking about you until the baby came into the picture. And literally, it was so messy because he was messing with you while he was still with his dark-skinned baby mama. And so here you go, coming out with this song, trying to drag her, but literally, you are not even fucking black. Like, you're not black. You're not black. You can't sing. You literally can't sing. And the person responsible for this is black men. Like, it literally is, because when you go to her comments, the baby was dropping yellow hearts. When you go to her comments, it's all these black men saying, oh, they gonna hate on you anyway. Nobody's hating on you. Nobody is hating on you because, number one, there's nothing to hate on. Nobody wants your glossy ass hair. That fucking apology that you came with the box braids hanging on for dear life to your glossy ass hair. Them box braids was, they was hanging on for dear fucking life to your glossy hair. Nobody wants it. Nobody wants it. You're not yellow. You are literally not yellow. You are white. And the problem is that literally when black women try to say this, when black women come out and say these things, you have black men who come in like they hating. I'll never forget Love and Hip Hop when I did the reunion. And they didn't show all this, but literally in the second reunion, you have Veronica Vega still saying, I'm black, I'm black, I'm black. And I was like, sis, we had a conversation backstage, like, you're not black. And on top of that, you're Cuban. You are white Cuban. White Cubans are known to be racist against black people. That is why people have a problem with you using nigga, because you're not black. And it's racist coming from you. It is. That's just what it is. But as I was saying this to her, you had Trick Daddy, man, so what? Spanish people say nigga all the time. They're not supposed to. Like, that's the whole point. They're actually not supposed to say nigga. They're not supposed to say it. But you have a black guy who's a rapper, who's a well-known rapper, telling her it's okay. So me, my black ass, I'm going back and forth, and I'm like, you know what? Maybe if you would just explain better why you really want to stick to using this word, maybe you can help us understand. But you know, you shouldn't use the word. And literally, that's what happens all the time. That's what's happening with Dani Leigh. That's what's happening with all these non-black girls, because literally, the men who are the gatekeepers of the culture, whether we want to admit it or not. Black men, literally, especially in the hip hop world, they're the gatekeepers. That's why they get to do all the fuckery that they get to do. And they profit from things like colorism. They profit from that because they don't want they'll fuck us. They'll have babies by the dark skinned girls. But when it's time to hit up the red carpet, they're going to hit a red carpet with a Spaniard or a white person. Or if it's going to be black, it's going to be a light skinned black. It's not going to be someone that actually looks like their mother. So they're going to uphold that because they get to benefit from that. Then you have her dumbass coming in her apology. Well, you know, my man is chocolate. How could I be racist when my man is chocolate? You can be racist. You literally are being racist right now in this video, in your apology. I have melanated friends. What are melanated friends? What the fuck is that? What are melanated friends? What? I've never had any of my non-black friends tell me I was a melanated friend. And here we had people like Charlamagne gassing her up. You have Charlamagne bringing up, oh, well, Beyonce did brown-skinned girls. And here's the thing, again, like, we will never be free. We will never be free because of black men. We will never be free because of cis black men. You literally have Charlamagne talking about, oh, well, Beyonce did brown skin girls. Did you listen to the song? Did you actually listen to the lyrics of the song? The whole point of Brown Skin Girls was literally telling dark skin, brown skin girls, hey, yes, the world has said this about you. Yes, people treat you a certain way, but that's not true. I'm here to tell you you're beautiful. I'm here to tell you you're not less than. I'm here to tell you you're a diamond. I'm here to tell you you're gorgeous. Like, it was to uplift a sector of the black community that's literally oppressed all the time. Like, dark-skinned girls are oppressed all the time. Brown-skinned girls are oppressed all the time. Even dark-skinned girls have made colorist statements come out all the time. I've made colorist statements and didn't realize that's what I was doing. Because literally, I've had colorism ingrained into me as a black girl. Like, literally, the fact that we've all been talking about Dani Leigh, that is evidence of colorism. Because none of us would be talking about her if she wasn't a quote-unquote yellow bone. Sis has nothing to offer. You have no vocals. Your music is trash. And a lot of people keep saying, oh, she's a good dancer. Bitch, she's not no Ciara. She's not no Janet Jackson. All she has is quote-unquote being yellow. That's it. That's literally the evidence of colorism. But then you have people like Charlamagne, oh, well, bringing Beyonce into it. And that's why we will never be free. We will never be free. Because black men literally uphold this shit. They uphold the colorism. They uphold that because they get to benefit from it. Black men just continue to be fucking disappointing, and it's so stressful at this point because then it falls back to us as we're haters, and we're not. Black women are not haters. Black, at the end of the day, if she was black, the whole conversation wouldn't have been surprising to her, because black women have literally been having this colorism conversation, especially online, for a very long time. So for her to come through and what? When will we be free of black men doing this bullshit? I'm gonna end this with a story time. A couple weeks back, this was the day of the Caucasian Revolution, January 6th. I go to the mall with a homeboy of mine, right? So we're at the mall and we're in line for the Gucci store. And this white guy comes behind us. I didn't see him come, but my homeboy was like, oh man, you think I could find some workout clothes in this particular mall? And we were at Phipps. He's like, do you think I could find some workout clothes in this mall? Before I could even answer him, here goes the white guy. Oh, you know what? You should go to the mall across the street. Everything's cheaper over there. This is a very expensive mall. And I turn around. I don't remember nobody asking you anything, Pink Fingers. Like, I don't remember. Like, I'm just looking at him like, why the fuck do you feel you can interject into this conversation and then basically tell us we're too poor to shop here? That was basically what he was saying. You should go across the street. It's cheaper over there. So I'm offended, but I'm just staying silent. And all of a sudden, when he said that, my homeboy, he like chuckles it off. And he's like, so then the white guy's like, yo, do you see what's going on down to the White House? Like, do you see what's happening? And my homeboy was like, yeah, man, it's crazy. And the guy's like, yeah, you know, I'm ready, though. I got my guns ready. If anybody want to try me, I got my guns ready. You know what I'm saying? I'm a war vet. I'm this, I'm that. Like, I'm ready to shoot, you know? And he's just talking about how he's ready to shoot. And I'm just and my homeboy is like chuckling this off. So I turn around, I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. Why are you telling us about this? We didn't vote for this. We didn't vote for this. This is none of our business. This is MAGA. This is you guys' business. That has nothing to do with us. And my homeboy tries to shush me. Oh, shh. Come on, man. And I'm like, what the? Don't shush me. Don't shush me. And the guy's like, I mean, you know, my neighbor, like, she was having an attitude with me because, you know, she saw that I voted for Trump until she realized that I own the house that she's renting. And he was just saying all this racist shit. So I'm like, I'm sorry, sir. Like, do I look like I voted for Trump? Do we look like we voted for Trump? And my homeboy's like, oh, shush. I'm like, stop shushing me. Stop shushing me. I'm like, do we look like we voted for Trump? He was like, I mean, with that attitude, you probably did. I said, really? I said, did you vote for Trump? Yes, I did. I said, so you're a war veteran and you voted for Trump? He's like, yeah, I'd do it again. I was like, wow. So you voted for this. You voted for this, and now you're telling us you're ready to shoot. So I'm saying this, and literally, my homework keeps shushing me. And I'm like, you know what? You don't need to shush me for your white king. If you want to talk to your white king, go over there and talk to your white king. But you ain't got to shush me. Don't shush me. And I'm giving this example because literally you have this man, this white guy, who started off the conversation by telling us we're too poor to shop here. Then he's telling you he's ready to shoot. Who is he going to shoot? Who is he talking about shooting? My black ass. My black ass who's minding my fucking business in the Gucci store, in the Gucci line. Me. But you, as a black man, you don't back me up. So then when we get in the car, he gives me this speech about how, oh, you know, like, this is MAGA country. Like, you know, you can't say anything that would, like, endanger us. I'm like, first of all, I didn't say anything that endangered us. We were having a conversation. He butted in and he started off by telling you you were too poor to shop here. Well, you know, I didn't take it that way. Sometimes you just have to let racist people be racist and let them talk. I'm like, I don't gotta do nothing. If you wanna do that with your white kings, you can do that. Me, on the other hand, nobody's gonna come in my face and disrespect me. I didn't say anything disrespectful to him. I basically made it clear to him, I don't got nothing to do with that MAGA shit. So that's between you and your MAGA brothers and sisters, not my black ass. But here you are talking about how you're going to shoot this and shoot that. How is it as you, as a black man, you're going off on me more than you went off on this man? The least you should have done is, you know what, this conversation, bro, I don't want to have this conversation. Peace be unto you. Assalamu alaikum. Malaikum salam. Like, no, that was the least you could have done. No, but you let him carry on. We will never be free. We will never be free. Because at the end of the day, I really feel like a lot of the problems that we have when it comes to racism, colorism, like, you have black men who uphold it. Like, they don't fight against it. They will uphold it because some way, somehow, they still benefit from it as a man. There's some benefit to it. You still want to be able to kick it with that white guy who just told you he would shoot you. You still want to be able to have access to the non-black women who continuously disrespect women who look like your mother, but you want to have access to them because what? They exotic. They're lighter. They give you access to different things. We will never be free. I just want freedom. We will never be free. Like, we will never be free. And it's because of y'all niggas. Anyway, let me know what you guys thought about all the topics that I addressed today. This is Shut the Fuck Up Jesse. Thank you so much for listening and watching. Make sure that you sign up for my Patreon, The Jesse Wu. Make sure that you follow me on all social media, The Jesse Wu. Fun talking to you guys. Talk to you guys again soon.